You're listening to Marketplace Weekend. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. We're going to start with some big picture stuff today. 15 years ago, the United Nations met and came up with 8 goals they wanted to achieve in 15 years, like cutting extreme poverty and slowing the spread of AIDS. Some were successes, some were not. Now, at a General Assembly headlined by Pope Francis, the UN is coming back with an even more ambitious agenda, 17 Sustainable Development Goals. And we got to talk to the woman in charge of this very lofty list. Her name is Amina Mohammed, and she's a special advisor on post-2015 development planning for the UN Secretary General. Welcome to Marketplace Weekend.
Thank you very much for having me.
I have been looking through the Sustainable Development Goals, and I'm sort of leafing through them. I want to read some of them because I have to admit, some of them make my eyebrows go up. You know, they're big goals: end poverty in all its forms everywhere, sustain per capita economic growth in accordance with national circumstances, in particular at least 7% GDP per annum in the least developed countries. And then there are ones like end all forms of discrimination against all women and girls everywhere. That sounds a bit like a fairy tale.
Not at all. It's a very real response from under 3.5 year discussion, not just with member states, but with civil society, with parliamentarians, and with business, that feel that this is the sort of agenda that we need to respond to the very big troubles we have in the world. They're pretty complex. It's a universal agenda, so we're saying this is about everyone. It's about us in New York, as it is about in a village in Nigeria or in India. And, you know, some of these goals that you see there are unfinished business of the Millennium Development Goals.
When I looked at the Millennium Development Goals, sort of what this piggybacks off of in some ways, that where you were very successful was cutting the rate of extreme poverty. You guys met that goal, cutting that in half. Is there a lesson that countries or economies can learn from the success there that was not enjoyed in some of the others, primary education or overall hunger? What made that work?
I think to a large extent, goal setting works. And so people being focused in a way in a country that you can pull together with all the different pieces you need to invest in and attend to help that. And reducing poverty by 50% was by and large in one big country in the world. I think if we look at other countries, we will see that equally we tried to do that, the scale of it perhaps defeated, so we got some measure of the way. So I think addressing scale and the institutions that were needed to do that and to deliver on it, and having the investments at the right time doing the right things with the necessary partnerships, I think that really helped to make that goal work. But there was, you know, a domestic leadership and intent to have it done. And I think that that's what makes this agenda so exciting, is that we didn't necessarily have that with the MDGs. Everyone talks about the prescription. But this time it really is one where people have engaged and do own this agenda.
When you look at something this wide ranging, you know, there's 17 main goals, but
169, yes.
I inverted that, sub-goals. How do you even start to have a roadmap, and how do you measure?
Well, there is a roadmap. This is part of it. And, you know, this is something that countries are doing anyway, just not so well. And perhaps not prioritize or frame the way you see them now. What we've done is pick
up. There are no consequences if they don't meet these goals, correct?
There are big consequences. The implications of not meeting these goals are a much worse state of affairs in the world, with conflict, with migration, with what you see in climate change. So absolutely. Accountability here will be a set of measures that we agree next year, because that's much more complex to try to get a set of indicators done. But essentially, the real buy-in that we got here over 3.5 years makes this probably much more doable than it would if you had, you know, made it into a law and say sign on the dotted line and you were, you know, dragging people here kicking and bucking. No, this is an inclusive process, well informed. It is a response to a really complex, messy world, and the 17 do it.
How much does all of this cost, and where does the money come from?
There are different estimates as to how much this costs, and we perhaps look to spending in this universal agenda $2 to $3 trillion a year till 2030.
Trillion with a T.
T, capital T. But I think, you know, that's not the right way around. We have a $106 trillion economy annually in the world today. That's a very small amount that we're asking to have unlocked And, you know, let's try to share that resources to do more to bring everyone into an economy, but also to protect the planet. The planet can do without us and we can't do without it. So how do we bring those two together and make them work? And I think that it's less about this is the resources we need. It's just much more about how you unlock them, how you put in place the political leadership and the wherewithal to make it work.
Amina Mohammed, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.